Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Amen. Revelation chapter number 3. And boy, thank the Lord for a good morning this morning. Church full this morning. Amen. And good to see the church pretty much full tonight. And boy, I sure thank the Lord for what he's doing at our church. Amen. I'm going to preach to you a little bit tonight here out of Revelation chapter number 3. And I would say that tonight is more preventive maintenance than anything. I really don't believe that we are the church of Laodicea. I don't believe our church has that mentality. You know, every once in a while, we just need to be reminded of some things. Can I get an amen right there? And I want to look at this church, and my fear is that we become the church like Laodicea. And that church that was neither cold nor hot, they was just lukewarm. God said this, "You make me want to spew you out of my mouth because you're like that." And I don't want to become that church, amen. I want to be hot. I want to be red hot, amen. And I definitely don't want to be cold, and I definitely don't want to be lukewarm. I don't even want to be warm. I don't even want to be hot. I want to be red hot, amen. And I want the world to know that this is a place where Christ is exalted, amen. And the bloodstained banner's lifted high, and that sinners are welcomed in our doors. No matter who they are, where they come from, the lifestyle that they may be living, this is an oasis in the midst of the desert that they can come to. Amen. And I want to look at this tonight. So keep in mind that we're looking at it to keep from becoming like that. Amen. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading God's word tonight. Revelation chapter number 3. And I want to pick up reading in verse number 14. The Bible said this, "And unto the church," or unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me of gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, and that thou mayest see." And he says in verse number 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." Now, Father, I love you tonight. I pray, God, that you would help us for just a little while, God, as we look into your word, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to get clear understanding from it. And then, God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight, God, to open our hearts and our minds, Father. God, may we take inventory of the way we think and the things that we say. God, as I preach tonight, and God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to never become as the church of Laodicea. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, for it's in your son's name we pray it. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I looked this morning in verse number 20 of this chapter and preached really a practical message on salvation out of verse number 20. But tonight, I want to go back and I really want to dive into the context of this passage and deal with this church at Laodicea. Whenever you begin to study and begin to look at Laodicea and the city of Laodicea, there's some things that's very interesting when you look at it. Now, stay with me, and all of this will make sense at the end. The city was located on a high plateau, and it was very secure from the enemy's attack. One of the problems that you'll find with Laodicea, though, was the fact that there was no ready source of water in the city. The Lycus River was nearby, but the waters were too muddy to drink. Water had to be piped in through an aqueduct in that day. And you'll find out that one of them come from 6 miles away in a place called Hierapolis, and the waters there was waters of hot springs. You'll also find that there was another place that it was piped in from, and there was Colossae that was 10 miles away, but the waters there was very cold. But the problem was this: whenever the hot water traveled 6 miles, it just became lukewarm when it got to them. Whenever the cold water traveled 10 miles, it became lukewarm whenever it got to them. So there was a problem with the water being lukewarm in the city of Laodicea. Now, I find it interesting that God used a practical illustration for them that they would understand about lukewarm water here in the book of Revelation. Now, I made mention of this morning. The city was famous for three different things. It was famous for its finances, it was famous for its fashion, and it was famous for its medicine. In its day, it was a very well-known city. As I've just stated, it was a city that financially was doing well. It was a city that really beyond doing well financially and pharmaceutically, it was doing well. And the fashion, the trends of that day came out of Laodicea. From the world's viewpoint, looking at Laodicea, it was a city that had everything together. From the world's viewpoint, looking at the church of Laodicea, it was a church that had everything together. It was a church that had money. It was a church that had the fashion of that day. And from the world's viewpoint, Laodicea was a church that had everything together. But from God's viewpoint, the church at Laodicea definitely didn't have everything together. Can I say this to you tonight? I'm not interested in the world thinking we've got everything together, but I sure am interested in God thinking and God knowing that we've got everything together. And our business is in order at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Matter of fact, whenever you study this church of Laodicea, Jesus comes to this church without a single word of commendation. Jesus comes to this church, and as he considers them, he has absolutely nothing good to say about the church of Laodicea. Let me show you two or three things about the problems with the church at Laodicea. And I really believe that we should inventory ourselves and see if any of these problems are in our life tonight. Number one, there was a problem with control at the church of Laodicea. There was a problem with control. Look back in verse number 14. The Bible said this: "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write." Notice the way he says it. The church of the Laodiceans. Now, I want you to look at something. Go back to chapter number 2. Let's look at these seven churches real briefly and how they are introduced. The Bible said in chapter 2, verse number 1, "And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus." And go to verse number 8. "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna." Verse number 12. "And to the angel of the church of Pergamos." And go to verse number 18. "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira." And go to chapter 3, verse number 1. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis." Verse number 7. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia." But look in verse number 14. "And unto the angel of the church of not of Laodiceans, but the Bible said of the Laodiceans, of the Laodiceans. I find it very interesting that the church of Laodicea is introduced completely different than any others. It didn't say of Laodicea, but it said of the Laodiceans. You see, the church of Laodicea had come to the place where they wasn't interested in God. They was just simply interested in their self. It was their church. Had nothing to do with being God's church. God, there were a church that was pleasing to God. It was their church. And hear me well. If we come to a place where we forget that this is God's church, we're in trouble. Can I say that again? If we come to a place that we forget this is God's church, we're in trouble. It's not our place that we can run or dominate. It's not our place where we can put our agenda in. Matter of fact, it's not even our church tonight. It's God's church tonight. There was a problem with control. Matter of fact, the Bible said this in Acts chapter number 20, verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Listen to this in Matthew chapter number 16. He said, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, look what he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What did he say? He said, upon this rock will I build my church. It didn't have nothing to do with being Peter's church. It didn't have nothing to do with being Paul's church. It didn't have nothing to do with being Matthew's church. It had to do with being God's church. Amen. Let me tell you what the central theme of our church is. It is our duty to preach him. It is our duty to promote him. It is our duty to publish him. It is our duty to praise him. The Laodiceans had a problem in saying that it was my church. It was ours. Laodicea had an eye trouble. Look in verse number 17. The Bible said this in verse number 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich. You see, they had an eye problem in the church of Laodicea. Hear me and hear me well tonight. The building that we are building beside of us is not my building. Can I say that again? It's not my building. It's not my church. It's not my pavement. It's not my gravel. It's not my rock. It's not my metal. Everything that is here today, it's all the Lord's. It has nothing to do with me and everything to do with him. And when we come to the point that it's my church, it's my choir, it's my this and my that, hey, we're living in a Laodicean church age. There's one central theme at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, and that's Calvary tonight. That's Jesus tonight. That's the blood that ran down an old rugged cross one day. It's him tonight. They had a problem with control. It had to all be about them. Had to all be, number one, there was a problem with control, but number two, there was a problem with passion. There was a problem with passion. Know what the Bible said in verse number 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Listen to what he says. He says, I know thy works. And let me tell you something tonight. God knows the truth. My dad once told me this. several years ago, and I've asked him this numerous times, but several years ago, and matter of fact, I can say just a couple months ago, a situation, and me and another preacher talked to Dad, and whenever we was talking to him, there'd been a lot of just junk, just false accusation, and let me just say something. I know we're live feeding, and I hope this preacher hears this. If you got a problem with something I'm doing, come see me. Don't go to all the brethren and talk about it. I'm so stinking sick and tired of church politics and preacher politics. I hadn't got time for it anymore. But I told Dad, I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to counter-react what he said. He said, why? I said, because I want to. That's why. He said, you know what? You don't have to prove your character to nobody. He said, your character will prove itself. He said, if a man can look at you and a man can look at our church and say that we're contemporary and that we're going to be part of the new revolving church and that movement, he said, he's crippled too high for crutches. Don't worry about it. Are you hearing me tonight? God knows the truth. Here's what he says. I know thy works. Think about this. Remember the water problem that I spoke about earlier. Water from the hot spring 6 miles away was brought into the city by aqueduct. By the time it reached Laodicea, the water was no longer hot. It was lukewarm, cold water. From Colossae was also piped in. By the time it reached Laodicea, the water was lukewarm as well. This picture of lukewarm water made getting refreshment in Laodicea difficult. Jesus is saying, or God is saying to them, as I look at your church, it is a place that is lukewarm. It is not a place of refreshment. It may be to the world's eyes, but to a true man seeking God, it is not refreshment. Jesus saw that they had a problem with passion. Let me read you something. I'm going to read you something that I read this week studying. Jesus tells them that like the water in their city, they have become lukewarm. This means they have lost their passion for the Lord. They were indifferent and apathetic. They were going through the motions, but they were unmoved by the things of the Lord. They were indifferent towards the things of God. The cross of Jesus, the Word of God, and the condition of the lost people around them no longer moved them. They were not burning with a passion for Jesus, but neither were they totally dead and cold. They were somewhere in between. Their condition was absolutely sickening to the Lord. Now listen to this. This is a crystal clear description of the modern church of our day. Many in the church today are going through the motions, but there is no passion for the things of God. They just go through the motions of it. For the most part, church people are no longer moved by the cross. We read about the crucifixion. We hear about it, and we sit unmoved. We are unmoved by the plight of the lost. We know people are lost and we know that they're going to hell, but we really don't care anymore. We say, that's terrible. I wish they'd get saved. We don't pray or witness. We really don't care. As long as the members of our immediate family profess to be saved, we are satisfied with that. And can I say something? We better not just be satisfied with them saying that I'm saved. We better, hear me. We better nail them down on it. Hear me tonight. I'm not just satisfied with my daddy saying I'm saved. I told my daddy I want to know about it. To know about the day you got lost, somebody say amen right there, and the day that God changed your life and made a difference in you. I want to know. But we live unmoved. I read this. It goes on to say that the average church in our day is a study in complacency and apathy. The church is not exactly dead, because they pray, preach, sing, etc. Yet the church is not exactly on fire either. There's no excitement and no passion about who they serve, whom they belong to, what they hear, and what they are doing. The modern church is somewhere in the middle of the road. We enter the church, we take our seats, and we are finished. We lack a desire to pray. We lack the will to testify and to praise the Lord for what He's done. We just come and go. We are satisfied with one or two services a week if we make it even to them. We are not moved by the need of the lost, the need of the church, or the will of the Lord. We are here, but just barely. A church that has been afflicted with the Laodicean legacy is a hard church to move towards the Lord. Jesus was a man of passion. He was on fire, and it showed in His life and in His ministry. His disciples were passionate men, and they lived passionate lives up for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are indifferent and unmoved and unconcerned, it gives a false impression of Jesus, who He is, and what He has done, and what He stands for. There are some things about which you cannot be indifferent. Indifferences and apathy are not options when it comes to Jesus Christ. No one who is right with God can pass Calvary and see the Lord bleeding, broken, and dead, and be unmoved. You say to me, preacher, what's the problem? So many is began to creep in to that church of Laodicea. Began to creep in. I thought about this. I'm just going to say some things, and I'm going to move on and go drink a cup of coffee and go home and eat some eggs and french fries. But I remember a time Wednesday night, we had a good testimony service. But I remember a time when the choir would get to singing, especially like they did on that first song this morning. And they would sing that song over and over because somebody in it would say, "Hey, Brother Matt," or "Hey, Brother Robert," or "Hey, preacher," whoever was leading, "can we sing that verse one more time? I just want to thank the Lord for Him being good to us. What has happened to us?" I remember a time on Wednesday night when some that was here, man, whenever it was time to testify, you was one of the very first ones that would say, "I just want to thank the Lord for being good to me." You say, "Well, preacher, I can't talk about the Lord." Well, we sure can talk about everything else. What has happened? We begin to slip into that church of Laodicea. We begin to slip into that place where we've just become complacent. We're in a place where God has blessed us financially. Amen. Where God's blessed us financially. We're in a place where God is allowing us to build Him another sanctuary. Did you notice what I said? Him another sanctuary for us to meet together. We're in a place where we're having to divide youth church now because it's grown to a place where we need more room and we need to be able to separate those age groups out. We're sitting in a place where God is continuing to bless us, and if we're not careful, we'll get to a place where we're just complacent. Oh, we'll talk about what all God did last year. And it was a great year. Matter of fact, it was the greatest year of our church since I pastor here. Matter of fact, in all honesty, it was probably the greatest year of my life last year. Man, I look at what God done, the places God let me preach, what God done in our church, what God done in my family. Man, I seen God do some big things in my family last year that I can't talk about, but boy, I seen God do it. I seen God do some big things in some of the families right here. And God bring you through some dark times, but may God help us to not live in yesteryear and talk about the way it used to be. It's a new year. There's still souls dying and going to hell. There's still empty pews. May we not get complacent and become lukewarm in our life. I thought about this, and I'll say this to you, and then I'm going to move on. There was a problem with passion, man. Why was they doing? Can I ask you something, Sunday school teachers? Why do you do what you do? Can I ask you something, the musicians? Why do you do what you do. Can I ask you something, Awana workers? Why do you do what you do? If we do it for any other reason than Jesus Christ, we're doing it for the wrong reason. Know what he says, because of their condition, and I'm going to move on, but know what he says in verse number 19. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He says this in verse number 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I looked up that word spew, and it's a strong word. It means, here's literally what it means. Don't nobody get sick on me. To vomit, vomit. That's what my daddy said, vomit. Means to vomit or to throw up. It's the Greek word is emeo. We get our English word emetic from that. And Jesus is saying this. Jesus tells that church, when I see your condition, it's like me taking a drink of lukewarm water and spewing it back, throwing it back up out of my mouth. I want to say something. May God never look at Amazing Grace and say, you sicken me by the way you're doing. Boy, that's one of my biggest fears, Brother Robert. I see this in closing. There was a problem not only with their control, there was a problem with their passion, but then in closing, there was a problem with their perception. Look in verse number 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Boy, what a contrast in verse 17. What a contrast in the way that they look at themselves, and Brother Jacob, the way God looks at them. Listen to it again. I am rich. This is what the Laodicean said about it. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not, this is what Jesus says about them, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Well, what a contrast. They thought they had it all together, and God said, no, you don't have it all together. You have forgot whose church this is. You have forgot the reason you're doing what you're doing. I studied this out. When the people in Laodicea looked at themselves, they saw a perfect church. They were wealthy, powerful, and they thought they had arrived on the scene. They looked at their position, their possessions, and their power, and they said, we have everything. They were indifferent, apathetic, and unmoved, and they believed they were in good shape. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. When you get to the place where you think you don't need no help, you're part of the church of Laodicea. If you sit here tonight and you think you can be no closer to God than what you are, you think that you've, is everybody all right right now? You think that you've arrived on the scene, and you think God can't take you any, I mean, you know, it's God, Jesus, and you. You're part of the church of Laodicea. They said, we have need of nothing. Hear me and hear me well. We have need of one thing. That's Him. You said, preacher, we don't have need of money. No, we have need of Him. So, preacher, we don't have need of more room. No, we have need of Him. And if we'll keep a hunger for Him, everything else will fall in place. Many churches are right there today. There's a sense that they have arrived. If the Lord walked into the average church today and told them that they needed to get right with Him, they would be offended. If He encouraged them to get on fire for God, they would say, look at us and all we have. We are doing fine and in need of nothing. They were proud of their achievements, but Jesus says, listen to this, and I'm closing. Come start playing soft. Jesus says this, you're wretched, which means troubled, miserable, which means to be pitied. They were proud of their wealth. Jesus says they're actually poor. This word means destitute and reduced to begging. They were proud of their vision of themselves. Jesus said they were blind. They cannot see themselves as they really are. They were proud of their fashion and fine clothing. Jesus says they are naked. They are revealed for what they really are. I thought about this, to be naked in that society was the ultimate humiliation. They stood humiliated before God. I say this in closing tonight. I'm not interested in being the church of Laodicea. May we never forget our perception. We got to have Him. Our passion is this, Him. The control of our church is Him. It all goes back to Him. You say, well, what about the pastor? That's the way God designed the church. That's the way God set it up. Everything's got to have a head. Somebody say amen right there. Everything's got to have a head. That's the way God ordained the church and set. God never set a committee up to run a church. He set it up for the pastor to run it. As the under-shepherd, I'm preaching good. I wish you'd help me right there. As the under-shepherd. And He set the people up to be Aaron and hers and get under the arms of the man of God and help lift the man of God up as the man of God lifts God up. And when you're lifting the man of God up, you're lifting God up. When you're standing with the man of God, you're standing with God. Amen. That's hard for me to preach being the pastor here, but it's the truth tonight. The church of Laodicea had a problem. Here's what it was. Matter of fact, if you was to get you a pen and a piece of paper out tonight and you wrote the word church, C-H-U-R-C-H down, nowhere in it you'll find the letter I. Matter of fact, we say this a lot of times at church, it's a teamwork, it's a team effort. And nowhere in the word team will you find I. Everything we do, He said, upon this rock will I build my church. The church is His church tonight. May we never become that church of Laodicea. May we as individuals, man, hear me right here. May we never begin to move towards the church of Laodicea. You know what? I may have preached tonight and you are beginning to visit at the church of Laodicea in the way that you are. You know what you ought to do tonight? You ought to find your place in an altar. Where's our passion at tonight? Where's our passion at tonight? I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you told somebody about God? When's the last time you invited somebody to church? I'm just being honest with us tonight, church. When's the last time we invited somebody? Well, preacher, where are we going to put them? I promise you we'll put them somewhere. We've packed over 500 in this building before. We'll put them somewhere. When's the last time you invited somebody to church? When's the time you looked, last time you looked at somebody and said, hey, man, I love you. I don't know something. Are you ready to meet God? If you died today, where are you going to spend eternity at? So, preacher, I can't remember the last time. You know what we're beginning to do? We're beginning to visit down at the church of Laodicea. We're beginning to visit down at the church of Laodicea. I don't want God to be sick with me. I don't want God to be sick with our church. May we stay away from the church of Laodicea. Father.